From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 14th day of October, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services will join us to take up the energy markets. In agricultural news, there are reasons to believe export demand for agricultural goods will remain strong during the coming year. The U.S. Secretary of Agriculture says the presidential candidates need to study up on the nation's number one industry. And Cargill is reporting a 52% net income gain since its last quarter. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau. And in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL. That's public radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby December wheat today, 15 and a half cents lower, $5.73 the settlement price. The March at 5.93 and three quarters, down 15 and a quarter for the soft red winter wheat. May futures at 6.07 and a half, down 15 cents. December corn futures today, $4.11 and a quarter, down a quarter of a cent. March futures, 4.29, down a half. And the May at 440 and three quarters, down 1/2 cent. July futures, 451 and three quarters, down a quarter. November soybeans, $8.96, 32 cents lower. January at 9.11 and a quarter, down 32 and a quarter. And the March contract, 924 and three quarters, down 32 cents. May futures, 935 and three quarters, down 31 cents. October bean meal, 254.50, up $2.40. October bean oil, 38.40. Down 50 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle from the CME Group's livestock side, 91.52 and a half, down or rather up 52 and a half cents. December futures at 93.35 for the live cattle, up 35 cents today. October feeders at 97.20, up 25 cents. And November's 87 and a half cents higher at $97 and a nickel. October lean hog, $65.62 and a half cents, down 35 cents on the afternoon. And the December futures finished at $60.50. December lean hog futures down 60 cents in Chicago. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. November crude oil futures at $79.70, $1.49 lower. December futures at $78.80, down $2.88 a barrel. November ethanol at $1.79 and a tenth. That's up a penny. Natural gas trading at $6.74, the nearby up 5 2/10 cents. RBOB gasoline at $1.89 and a tenth, 2 6/10 cents lower. And the heating oil, that's diesel fuel, down 6 9/10 cents today at 2.27 1/10. November propane futures under a dollar at 98 7/10 cents, down 14 7/10 cents today. December futures following suit at 99 7/10 cents, down 14 7/10 cents. October gold futures at 836.30. That's down $2.60, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average, currently trading at 91.40, is just about 245 points lower on the afternoon. The U.S. dollar at 81.27 is down 0.14, and the CRB index at 297.22 is down 1.48 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. Ed Kieser says tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a few scattered showers. Actually, they'll be widely scattered showers. Those will be most numerous in central Illinois and in the south. They'll come after midnight. Lows will range from 48 in the far northern parts of Illinois to 60 in the south. Tomorrow, cloudy, areas of rain. Highs will range tomorrow from 54 in far northwestern Illinois to 82 in the far south. Showers should continue in many areas on Wednesday night before tapering off. Coverage of rainfall through Wednesday night, about 80 to 100%, but amounts in most areas should stay under half an inch, and many locations will receive less than a quarter of an inch. Thus, delays in harvest operations shouldn't last for too awfully long.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
WILL programs are made possible by the iCorn.com Seeds of Knowledge Video Scholarship Contest. Farmers nominate students who make a 90-second video and compete for a share of $30,000 in college scholarships from iCorn.com. More information is available online at iCorn.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check in on what happened in the agricultural commodity markets. And online with us this afternoon is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Hi, Wayne.
Oh, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I took the day off and spent it out on the farm with the kids yesterday. Enjoyed myself. It was just a magnificent day, but it looks like the markets continue to march forward either direction, I suppose.
You didn't look real close to the screen if we're marching forward there. You were for a while today, Todd.
A little bit, but
I don't know. No. I mean, like I say, it was a beautiful day for harvest yesterday, and it looked like the U.S. was following suit for a beautiful day for the financials this morning when we got all the announcements following through. What excited the stock market for the largest day rally ever, but it seemed like they lost enthusiasm.
Yeah, they lost enthusiasm quickly. Do you suppose in the stock market that's just because 1,000 points was enough and they needed to set back because it's the biggest one-day move ever?
Biggest one-day move ever, number one. Number two, a little bit of buy the rumor, sell the fact with going ahead with our program. And number two, it sure didn't help anything that MSNBC, CNBC, everybody in the world out there boo-hooing what maybe this might not work, and also possibly recommending people that needed some cash out now take advantage of the bounce to take some profits and take some money out of the stock market. All those together just making people a little bit uneasy about the rough economic conditions we're in and the the slowdown of car sales, the loss of jobs, and a few things out there. But then, of course, as far as the grains went, the crush being a little lower than expected didn't help the beans at all.
Tell me about that late-day loss in the beans.
Oh, my gosh. It was in a very slow trade, but as we saw the crude oil plummet under $80, we saw the stock market drop probably another 100 points. And just in lack of buying, more than aggressive selling, we just dropped, and every time we dropped, we seemed to get some stops, and it sort of snowballed itself, Todd. So, you know, it looked like they were shooting for those the 881.5 low that we hit on Friday. There might be their next target, just the way that the market was acting there as far as things are going along. So, but just sort of a free fall there because of no real buying coming into the market, and of course the outside markets being weak.
What farmers thinking about this marketplace? They think it's gone long enough and low enough?
The farmer base out here basically is feeling that these are areas of value, and they would sort of like to be reowning some of their cheap sales or reowning some of the stuff that they don't want or that they've sold cash here or are hauling in and don't have room for at home. The economic conditions make us just a tad leery, but I mean, we are in some levels here where we're seeing some buying by farmers that have like RA insurance that we've already seen a big enough drop that this locks them into an insurance claim on some of their beans that weren't that good. And they're wanting to own some futures in case it would happen to rally to take them out of that insurance claim.
Yeah, so they're wanting to own futures. You caution them against the volatility in the marketplace?
We tell everybody this is a very volatile market right now, Todd. That wasn't a recommendation as much as it was just talking about what you asked, what the farmer community was thinking.
I understand. Well, tell me about this then. In your area, have you started in earnest into harvest?
Beans are moving well over half done in our area. They continue to in majority of areas seem to be in the 50 to 55 bushel range. We have some, a lot higher than that and some down in the mid-30s. But all in all, the average is probably in the mid-50s. We're hearing at first, we were hearing corn yields a little better than expected. And today we started picking up areas that had some weather problems that were instead of maybe 10 to 20 bushel better, 20 to 40 bushel less than what they were expecting. So we've heard some very, very yields out of the corn in our area over here now. But the corn, I can't say that we are dead in harvest of corn yet. That's probably only 20% done over in our area.
You're just getting, as I traveled across 136 here in the state of Illinois, it was amazing that there just wasn't anybody moving. It was about 10 o'clock yesterday as I made my way across 136 in the state, and there just wasn't much movement there. Those who were in the field were, they all still had bean heads on, of course, and that they're just, it was just too gray and cloudy in the morning at that time to be moving at all in beans. I think the only people that were harvesting corn, as far as I could tell, were my brothers. And there wasn't any lines at the elevators even yesterday. So this harvest is really going to be late. Are our producers starting to get worried at all about having to harvest into November and not even into early November, but mid to late November?
You know, they're also thrilled with as late as the crop got in with all the replant there is that we've had this much good weather this long. They're all just thrilled to death with that because basically we knew we were going to be a late harvest.
Right.
We just are very happy that it's maturing and maturing normally and drying down in the field with the kind of weather we've had because this is really making a good difference, Todd, as to how much propane and how much drying charges they're going to have to pay.
Yeah, we'll probably take that up a bit later, too. What do you think of propane dropping below a buck on the boards today?
I just hope that it gets passed on. A lot of times when you see the propane market, it's a very inelastic market, very hard to trade on the board. It's a very illiquid, and we don't tend to follow it as close as we'd like to see it being followed by the pricers of LP on out there.
All right. We thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. In just a few moments, Dave Dickey will be along with a complete look at today's agricultural news class. Cast, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In agricultural news, officials at the U.S. Grains Council say there are reasons to believe that demand for agricultural goods will remain strong despite the world financial crisis. USGC Director of International Operations Mike Callahan says, quote, "I don't see wholesale abandonment." The International Monetary Fund today released a report that says the global economic downturn will force advanced economies into recession, but that developing economies will continue to grow. USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer says presidential candidates John McCain and Barack Obama need to bone up when it comes to agriculture. Stuart Doan has more.
A week after the Republican presidential nominee promised an audience in Independence, Missouri that
my administration will reduce the price of food by eliminating the subsidies for ethanol and agricultural goods.
USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer told agribusiness executives at a meeting in St. Louis that while he appreciates John McCain's conservative nature and agrees with many of his economic policy positions,
both Senator Obama and Senator McCain leave a lot on the table to be desired for agriculture policy.
According to Schaefer, that's because neither White House contender understands the importance of agriculture to the U.S. economy.
So I would urge Senator McCain to really surround himself with people who know agriculture, with understand its impact, and to absorb the lessons that they can teach him as we move forward about how agriculture is the foundation of the economy and the strength in this country.
I'm Stuart Doan reporting.
European Union animal health experts have raised the minimum age for testing cattle for mad cow disease to 48 months in the 15 EU nations that were members before 2004. Pending approval from the European Parliament, the revised rule will go into effect next January. And Cargill reports a fiscal first quarter net income jump of 62% due to gains in its fertilizer business. Cargill says net income rose to $1.49 billion in the quarter ending August 31st from $917 million a year earlier. Cargill says it received a substantial boost from its stake in Mosaic. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey's Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you of a couple of things. First, safety first. If you haven't taken a little afternoon nap or at least a rest, now might be a good time to shut down that machine for a few minutes and just close your eyes and listen to this program. I'd sure appreciate that. The other is, if you want to listen to it later tonight, you can do that at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now up next in today's Listener Opinion Forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochka says the presidential candidates need votes from rural America.
This year's campaign for president of the United States is down to the wire. Yet, in this busy time for the candidates, Senators John McCain and Barack Obama have taken the time to respond to a Farm Bureau survey on where they stand on important agricultural issues. The fact that the candidates have provided this detailed, exclusive response during the height of the campaign season is an acknowledgement of how important rural votes will be on November 4th. Some political experts and recent opinion polls indicate voters in rural areas of key battleground states could swing the election one way or the other. Rural voters are in the spotlight. The candidates' responses also serve as a great big nod to how active Farm Bureau members are in policy and politics and how influential they are in their communities. Senator Obama supported the new farm bill enacted earlier this year. He also supports the renewable fuel standard that requires a certain amount of our fuel supply to come from renewable fuels like ethanol and biodiesel. Few issues are more important to farmers' profitability, so it's no surprise Obama touts his position on the farm bill and biofuels. Obama also pledges to set a goal of having 60 billion gallons of our fuel come from biofuels by the year 2022, make comprehensive immigration reform a top priority, and increase funding for upgrades to waterways and rural infrastructure. While Senator McCain opposes the farm bill and renewable fuel subsidies, he goes further than Obama on holding down taxes, expanding trade, and minimizing costly regulation. Senator McCain would exempt estates worth up to $10 million from the estate tax, compared to $7 million exemption proposed by Senator Obama. McCain pledges to keep the capital gains tax rate at 15%, regardless of income. Obama says he would keep the 15% rate as well for households with incomes below $250,000 per year. In addition, McCain's support for expanding foreign markets through trade agreements is unequivocal. He says bringing more American farm goods to foreign markets is a central focus of his agricultural policy, and he would support ratification of pending trade deals and negotiation of new ones. Senator Obama also says we must expand our access to overseas markets. But during the primary campaign, he bashed the North American Free Trade Agreement, which has helped farmers more than double their exports to Canada and Mexico. Both candidates say they would give agriculture a seat at the table when policy decisions concerning environmental regulation would affect farmers, and both say they support establishing a greenhouse gas cap-and-trade program to combat global warming. Again, McCain goes a step further and promises to exempt farm operations from greenhouse gas caps. Now, it's time for American farmers to decide which issues are most important to them and which candidates' positions might deliver the most promising future for agriculture long after this historical election is, in fact, history. This is Amy Rochkus with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkus' comments are her own. They reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just give us a call. The number is 217-333-0850.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services is here now to take our Tuesday energy look at the marketplace. He's with an ADM affiliate out of Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon.
Let's start with the oil market. I think we probably ought to start there. What do you think of it?
Well, my belief is it's being pushed lower by the equity markets and the uncertainty associated with the economy. I really get the impression you're going to see things get worse before they get better in terms of the economic outlook, and that is certainly having a negative impact on the entire petroleum complex.
Well, tell me a bit more about how you view that whole complex and the equities.
Well, you know, we've talked about how the market was somewhat oversupplied, and it continues to be. Certainly OPEC pronouncements concerning the potential for them cutting back on output is a recognition of the oversupply situation. And what we've seen is the demand suffer considerably in the U.S., falling by as much as 5 to 8% here recently. I think that is certainly undercutting the outlook, along with the liquidation of fund positions, along with uncertainty in terms of the over-the-counter market with respect to counterparty risk.
So you're suspect that the economy will continue to worsen, but has the Federal Reserve and the U.S. and the global system reacted enough at this point that we're just waiting for the bottom to come before things start to turn back to the upside?
My belief is that it will not turn around quickly. The Fed is addressing problems only and trying to stabilize the system rather than actually support the economy. I think the problems are certainly widespread and a source of concern. And I think that's one of the major negative impediments to the economic outlook is really psychology. People are going to have to hunker down. And I think that's what is going to be the outlook. And it will probably be a drawn-out process.
What does this mean for you? I mean, a higher dollar over time,
lower gas potential price? Is there for the dollar to stabilize and possibly move higher. We've seen that here recently. But, you know, I certainly think the kinds of funds that the U.S. is throwing toward the problem is going to be a weakening influence over the longer term to the dollar. It might not be yet as we continue to see, you know, adjustments in the global economy. But overall, I have to think that in terms of the developed countries, we're seeing a transfer of wealth from the developed countries and a narrowing in incomes between the developed countries and emerging markets. And that has been going on for a couple years, and it still appears to be a force to reckon with.
A force to reckon with, but will it mean prosperity across the globe eventually?
Eventually. It could be a long time, a while before we do that.
Decades.
I think what we need to do is certainly stabilize, and I think the government authorities are trying to do that.
Okay. Thanks much, Steve.
Sure.
Steve,
have
Platt,
a good day.
You too. Steve Platt is with Archer Financial Services, joins us on a Tuesday to talk about the energy markets. Archer Financial Services is an affiliate of ADM based out of Chicago, Illinois. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The president of the Champaign Unit 4 School Board says they'll consider a proposal to list its ongoing financial transactions online. Last night, the board heard from Tony Pomonas, a businessman and county board candidate, who says posting the district's check register online would help assure people who may have questions about an upcoming sales tax referendum. The tax revenue would be earmarked for school construction projects. Investigators in Macon County are looking into a crash that left a volunteer firefighter dead during a training exercise. The Sangamon County coroner says 24-year-old William Miller of Blue Mound actually died from a pre-existing condition aggravated by the accident. She wouldn't release any details about that condition. Authorities say the tanker truck Miller was driving overturned Monday night in southwest Macon County while the Blue Mound Fire Department was conducting a training exercise. Officials with the Macon County Sheriff's Office and the state police are investigating. A judge in Lake County, Indiana, has ordered election officials to immediately open satellite early voting centers in Gary, Hammond, and East Chicago. Lake Circuit Judge Lorenzo Arredondo is siding with Democrats and two unions in ordering the in-person absentee voting sites in those three urban centers. Records filed with the Federal Election Commission show Republican Congressman John Shimkus reports having about $1.4 million for his campaign as of the first of this month. The six-term incumbent's challenger, little-known Democrat Daniel Davis, hasn't yet filed his report. Demand for a home heating assistance program for low-income Champaign County residents has been high so far. That's the word from the head of social services for the agency that administers the Illinois LIHEAP, or Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program, in the county. Darlene Kleppel says more than 2,000 households have been interviewed for the state-sponsored program so far, with general public interviews not scheduled to start for another 2 weeks. Last year, LIHEAP helped 5,500 homes pay for gas and electric bills, but Kleppel says this year more state funding may be negated by higher utility rates. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the weather in the Midwest.
Well, as we head on through here, the next few days is going to be a pretty quiet weather pattern, really across many areas. Now, we have a storm system that is pushing its way through the region, but it's split into two pieces, with one piece going up north, the other one staying off to the south, and that southerly piece is producing rain right now across Kansas, portions of Nebraska, Texas, and Oklahoma. Some of this moisture will get into the western and southern Midwestern areas as we head into the next couple of days, although the bulk of the heavier moisture with this system is likely going to stay a little bit further out west.
Where do we get rainfall at this point out west?
Well, western Iowa, western areas of Missouri, northeast Kansas, southeastern areas of Nebraska stand the best opportunities for moisture.
Producers in the eastern Corn Belt and the western Corn Belt both will be looking to be in the field and moving at a very quick pace this late in the season. Who's going to be able to go and who's not?
Well, I think those western and southwestern areas are likely going to be the wettest. We also are going to see a little bit of moisture move into some areas of central and northern Illinois, and then some areas of southern Indiana, eastern Ohio. Right now, rainfall amounts are being predicted to be in the quarter-inch range to a half-inch range. There'll be a few pockets, upwards of three-quarters of more. So the rain amounts aren't going to be huge. So it is going to get wet in some areas. If there's going to be delays, though, I don't think they're going to be for too long.
It doesn't look like the temps on the top side will be particularly high, but I don't think too bad for this time of the year. The low side looks fairly decent for this time of year, too.
Yeah, it really does. The temperatures are actually going to be averaging darn close to normal, maybe a hair slightly below normal, but nothing that's too out of kilter.
Tell me about the southern hemisphere.
Well, not a lot of rain is expected across Brazil and Argentina, some. Amounts of rainfall are going to be at or a little bit below average. Brazil probably standing the better chance of moisture. The northern and central growing areas of Argentina getting a little bit as well.
Any place around the planet that we really need to be keeping an eye on besides those two growing regions?
Well, South Africa looking to be a little bit dry as we go over and look at Australia. They're looking at the forecast. Well, it's something that we talk about all the time. It seems dry as well.
Okay, thanks much, Don. Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, just one of five meteorologists that you can hear each and every week during the Closing Market Report, a different one for each day of the week. You don't find that anywhere else. Just keep it in the back of your mind as you're going through the field. You can get an update on what conditions will be like in the coming days and the coming week for this harvest season right here on the Closing Market Report. Speaking of which, if you'd like to go back in the evening and hear what the weather is going to be like or anything else you heard during the day during this program, you can do that at willag.org. That's willag.org. Please visit our website. There you can sign up for our free weekend newsletter, too. It'll keep you up to date on what's happening in the world of the commodity markets. Over on the right-hand side, just hit subscribe. If you don't like it, it's just as easy to unsubscribe on the right-hand side of the page at willag.org. Be safe out there and have a good harvest season. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Asgro's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.